These two guys have Minnesota sports flowing in their veins. Mackie and Judd on Score North and ScoreNorth.com.
You think you and your Hall of Fame quarterback buddy like football? Well, John Gruden and Brett Favre don't just like football. They f***ing love it.
It's red left switch, Z right, sprint right G, U corner, halfback flat.
Yes.
Nice That's and easy. Let's walk it. Here we go.
Football!
Football, yeah! Football! Yeah. Football!
Get some!
Oh, man. I could just listen to John Gruden say football things and Brett Favre say football things all day. Just 24 hours.
I think I'll take Favre first, right? Like, Favre's my favorite. Because I love the drawl. I love the drawl and football. They just go hand in hand.
You think you like football? Brett Favre doesn't just like football. He f***ing loves football.
All right, here we go. They're going to jump right here. You know they're going to jump. Everybody hold your water. Green right.
Hold your seltzers.
98 handoff solid on three. Ready? Balls, balls, balls. Balls, balls, balls. Balls. Green 18. Green 18. Ten. Hey.
Football.
Football.
Yeah. Yeah.
Football.
Football.
Yeah.
Gotta eat.
Everybody hold your seltzers. Hold your seltzers now. Hold your seltzers. Cans, 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 cans.
Yes. Just great the way he says it, though. Just the enunciation is so strong.
Well, welcome into Mackie and Judd here. We appreciate everyone who has helped us set a new Score North and Mackie and Judd and Purple Daily download record in the month of March. I think that's the biggest month we have had in the history of 1500 ESPN or Score North when it comes to listenership and consumption. So thank you guys for that. And we know that there's a bunch of just things happening in and around the Twin Cities with, oh my God, everything that's happening in Brooklyn Center and the Derek Chauvin trial. And so you guys come to us for an escape, and we appreciate that. And we'll try to give you some entertainment today when people's minds might be elsewhere. But we woke up this morning, and I got to be honest, boys, I wake up every day just crossing my fingers and hoping for either a Toddfather mock or a Godfather mock. And Godfather mock delivery today.
I want a mock!
Mock!
Mel Kiper Jr.'s 4.0. Judd, do you get as excited as I do for when Mel Kiper releases his new
mock draft? Do we continue to have trades? Because if we continue to have trades in 4.0, then the answer is absolutely yes. But the trades, I think, because I know that Mel hates them.
Mm-hmm.
And like Mel now has been forced. I think he's been forced by management at ESPN to put his neck on the line here. And so I absolutely love the fact that he is forced to do something he does not want to in his mocks now, and the trades. The trades are my favorite part.
Well, you guys can see the headline here on the screen that we share. So NFL Mock Draft 2021, longest headline ever here, by the way. Mel Kiper's new two-round predictions for top 64 picks, including two trades, six quarterbacks, and needs filled. I feel like he had more than two trades in his last iteration. It's possible that Mel has been scared off a little bit here by some of the activity that's happening.
Can I ask a question first? If you were to write the headline that you just showed us, I get everything in trying to get people excited about 4.0 from Godfather Mock, except for and needs filled. Isn't that an understood portion of a mock draft? Like a draft?
You're right. It's a weird
just a
add-on
draft.
To it.
Like needs are... what if you were to say, this is my mock draft, no needs were really filled. Everybody just took redundant players. The Vikings drafted 8 more defensive tackles. That's all they did.
It is hilarious that he would have to add needs filled. It's already the longest headline ever, and
yes.
It says, like, multiple trades and all the quarterbacks and teams fill needs.
Like, yeah, needs filled for every team would be the only thing that would be, that would probably be worse. Needs filled for every team in National Football League in this NFL mock draft. Anyway, sorry.
So here it is. I have not dove into this yet, so we'll see. And we keep track. We do most of our mocks on Purple Daily, so if you want all of the Monday mocks and the midweek mocks, go check out Purple Daily if you aren't already. And so we keep track of all the players that get mocked to the Vikings. Elijah Vera Tucker and Christian Barmore have each been mocked 5 times to the Vikings in the mocks that we have consumed on these shows. Kwity Paye, edge rusher from Michigan, 3 times. Christian Darrisaw, offensive tackle from Virginia Tech, twice, and then a bunch of other guys once. So Mel Kiper, ready to rock here. He's still tinkering with his big board in position rankings, and his final update will come out just before the start of the draft. My pal Todd McShay just made a big update on his rankings as well. So they're already greasing the wheels for big changes.
Things are changing, Phil.
And so we'll start with pick number one here. Godfather Mock has Trevor Lawrence going to the Jaguars. Zach Wilson to the Jets. Is there a chance the Jets could throw a curveball here?
No. I think the Jets are locked in.
Okay.
This next one is the interesting one. See, I don't buy this.
Yep.
I think that is Justin Fields.
I do too.
Maybe Trey
Mac
Lance.
Jones was like, a second or third round guy two months ago.
Yep.
All right. He's got a projected trade here with Miami moving back up, right? So they already traded back. They're moving back up to four, but not for a quarterback. He's got Miami moving up for Kyle Pitts, tight end.
Great move.
Florida.
Declan's guy.
Great move. Great move.
Declan's just going to be happy about that no matter what.
I can't wait.
I can't wait. What, are you going to start watching Dolphins games?
I am. He's a stud. He's going to be a stud for
you're
two.
So right now, in Declan Goff's football world, it's going to go Dolphins, Packers, then if you watch the Vikings, you watch the Vikings.
Maybe wherever Drew Locke ends up next season, I don't know if it's in Denver, maybe he ends up somewhere else, maybe like Jalen Hurts. And like Kirky Boy in the Vikings, like 5 or 6. Yeah, that's kind of where
you really are. Remind me, I'm a millennial. If you were born like later, what's the one after millennial? Gen Z, right?
Gen Z, yeah.
I feel like the younger millennials and the Gen Zs, it feels like, and I'm going to say you guys, because I'm going to put Declan in this category. Yeah. You're like bigger fans of players than teams.
Correct.
And so your loyalty, you'll just follow, I'm a Chris Paul fan. And so now I'm a Suns fan.
You know what?
Throw away my Clippers stuff. Yeah. Like
Chip Scoggins' kids, exactly like that. He's got his son, or I think the 18-year-old son, watches Ja Morant games.
Yep.
He doesn't watch. He doesn't care. Like, John Morant could be traded.
Memphis fan?
But he's not. Because, like,
The Scoggins family straight up pays for league pass so his son can watch John Morant.
Yeah. He doesn't pay to watch Memphis. The kid doesn't care. If John Morant gets traded to the Clippers tomorrow, he's a Clipper fan.
I just find that super weird. Like, I appreciate
that. And that's probably
players,
Declan, too.
It's like when people just pick a European soccer team, like our buddy Chris Long, and I'm going to rag on him for this forever. Like, I'm just a Tottenham fan. What do you mean?
That's almost
You just got drunk at Brits and decided you're a Tottenham fan? Like, it doesn't make any sense.
But that's like different because that's, I think, wanting to be part of a club, right? Like, this is, I just like a player, and I don't care where that guy plays.
I guess.
It's a very odd thing to me, to an old guy like me.
All right, Bengals taking Penei Sewell, offensive tackle from Oregon. Atlanta Falcons trading back and still getting a quarterback here. Trey Lance.
Interesting.
To take over for Matt Ryan.
Don't hate it.
I feel like, for God's sakes, Matt Ryan's cap hits like $45 million next year.
Yep.
They got to draft a quarterback. They're in position.
Yes.
They're not going to be guaranteed a position like this to draft a quarterback in a long time.
A new offensive coach, too. So, like, it makes sense that the new coach would come in and say, Matt can play for us in 2021, right? But I'd like my own guy starting in 2022.
Lions taking what's probably going to be, unfortunately, for Ja'Marr Chase. It seems like every wide receiver they take in the first round, except for Calvin Johnson, turns out to be a bust. But here we are. Ja'Marr Chase. I might be wrong on that. Was Galladay a first-round pick?
I think he was.
Right,
maybe I'm just looking
at it. Could
be
bad news for the Vikings, Phil. It could be bad news for the Vikings if Ja'Marr Chase goes to the NFC North.
Devontae Smith.
Here's the
wide receiver run here to the Panthers at 8.
Sam Darnold's guy.
Micah
now.
Parsons, linebacker Penn State, going to the Broncos. So they'd be sticking with their quarterback situation. Then we have a projected trade. Mel Kiper, projected trade here. New England trades up with Dallas to get Justin Fields with the number 10 overall pick.
Okay, stop right there. Honest to God, I'm going to go crazy. My head is going to pop off. This is Tua last year. Do you guys really believe that Justin Fields is going to get this low? Like, it's purposely being planted.
I think it's a lot of smokescreen. I think Justin Fields goes higher than 10, but I know that every year guys fall that you expected to be in the top 5, and so someone's going to fall.
I don't feel like quarterbacks, like, I feel like this was the Tua exercise a year ago almost exactly. the same exact thing. Is he going to get to 11? Is he going to get to? And I'm like, no, he's going to go probably top five. And he did. I just don't. This, Phil, I'm with you on a lot of players that still to this day, something happens or they tumble in the draft. I'm with you completely, except for quarterbacks. Like, I think so much BS. Teams are trying so hard to poison the well on Fields that it works with the quote-unquote draft experts. If he gets to 10, I will be amazed.
Yeah, we actually have exclusive audio from Steve Belichick, his thoughts on this massive trade projection by Mel Kiper.
Okay.
Let's see here.
Steve?
I don't know. I haven't really thought about how it correlates. It's just trying to do my thing, and I think that that's what's best, so that's what we're trying to do.
Steve, Phil asked you about the chore. Do you have a memory of your first football chore or one of your first football chores that he asked you to do?
Yeah, I got a couple memories of those.
Really, really exciting there. So many memories.
So, yeah. He's such a dead ringer for the old man.
So many memories. He also has a mullet too. It's like, yeah. You can't tell with Steve Belichick. Is it an ironic mullet or is it like he just thinks that that's the hairstyle of 2021? I don't know. But with the 11th overall pick, the Giants take Jalen Waddle from Alabama. So all three top receivers off the board. Patrick Surtain, cornerback to the Eagles. Chargers taking Rashawn Slater.
Ouch.
And so that means the Vikings, with the 14th pick, are left with Christian Darrisaw, offensive tackle from Virginia.
I want a mock!
All right, and the write-up here is that's four mock drafts for the 2021 class for me and four offensive linemen to Minnesota in the first round. It's a glaring hole on this roster. Darrisaw was outstanding at left tackle for the Hokies last season. Our stats and info team tracked him at 264 total pass block plays, and he allowed just three pressures and one sack. Put him at left tackle on day one for the Vikings. Your thoughts?
Hold on a second. Can you continue to scroll down? Am I going crazy, or did I not see Panay Sewell?
No, he went five.
No, he went five.
Oh, five.
He went
okay.
Five. Yeah. I'll scroll down here just so you can see J.C. Horn, Caleb Farley, so a run on cornerbacks here in the teens. Elijah Vera Tucker to the Raiders. Okay. Quiddy Pay to the Dolphins.
You know what? If Quiddy Pay's there and they take Darrisaw, congratulations. I'm all for it. Because I know that Zim has been in Spielman's ear saying, oh, man, Quiddy Pay's there. Take Quiddy Pay. You got to take Quiddy Pay. And Zim said, no, we are going to take protection for our quarterback. So if Darrisaw is the pick, I applaud Rick Spielman and the Vikings for doing the right thing.
Yeah, and obviously, like, it can't be a bust. If it's a bust, then it doesn't matter. But, you know, the fear of some of these guys being busts, you just have to get over that mentally in some cases. Like, yeah, there's a chance that these guys could be busts. Matt Khalil turned out to be a bust. Christian Ponder was a bust.
Yep.
The Vikings have had a few of those busts in the first round. They've had mostly starting caliber players. You went over it a few – it was like last week, I think, on the show on Purple Daily.
Yep.
That they've actually not whiffed, but like they haven't found as many star players in the first round in the Mike Zimmer era as you would hope, but they've kind of made up for it with Danielle Hunter over here and Stephon Diggs over here in the fifth round, right? Yeah.
I've thought about this though. I think that my threshold is this one, Phil. If it's a position like wide receiver, center, Bradberry is the poster child for. If you missed, you got problems. If you miss on a quarterback, a left tackle, like those positions to me, I would probably throw the fishing line out more and be like, you know what? There's a chance it's going to work here. And if it does, the payoff is potentially huge. I'm much more disturbed about when you take a position of need that I see as a position that can be filled elsewhere probably. And that is a miss, right? But like if you're gonna go QB, because you've got to find one. And if you do, that's at least first round, potentially 5 years of team control on a great contract, right? Left tackle, premium position. I'm much more of the mindset that if you take a shot at that and it doesn't work, okay, that's still a decent shot, especially if the player is a top prospect. If it's a center, though, that's what bothers me. Like the Bradberry pick was such a reach for a position of need, but it could have been filled elsewhere, in At least that's what I think.
Mm-hmm. No, I think, you know, when if you just sort of zoom out and get away from your big board and everything, like, you have a chance to whiff on anyone that you draft, right? So the Vikings sitting there at 14, let's say they think they need an edge rusher more for this year's team because they feel like they can sort of patchwork the offensive line and move Brian O'Neill to left tackle or whatever, and they could go sign a cheaper right tackle or something. They could patchwork it, right? Well, they could whiff on Quiddy Pay. Like you could whiff on any of these guys. And so I think if you're staring at a left tackle for the future, a guy that could be, if you think Christian Darrisaw or you think Rashawn Slater could be your starting left tackle above average to maybe even Pro Bowl caliber for the next 8 to 10 years, you have to draft that player, I think, regardless of, well, we feel like, I mean, by the way, that's a huge need for this year too. So it's like, it's in that sweet spot of, it's a super critical position for you long term, and it's one of your biggest needs for this year. But Mike Zimmer, clearly, when he gets into these arm wrestling matches with Rick Spielman, and it's defense or offense, I mean, he obviously won the arm wrestling match for how they're going to allocate their free agent money. So yeah, who's to say that he doesn't
but
win
he's won.
The same arm wrestling
match? You won, dude. Let's help the offense now. Well, like, I mean, that has to be part of the conversation, right? You won already. Like, the Vikings have not signed an outside offensive player. They've traded
but
for
I don't,
one.
I don't, but you think he won. I think he still looks at his defense
oh,
and
no.
says, man, we
no,
need another pass rusher or this thing is going to fall apart.
No, you are correct. What you're saying is right. What I'm saying would be my counter to that. Oh, no, no, no. He won and he still wants to win more. He's trying to 10 run you. So, yeah.
So the tally to this point, Elijah Vera Tucker, the offensive lineman from USC, and Christian Barmore, the defensive lineman from Alabama, have both been mocked in our mocks to the Vikings 5 times each. Christian Darrisaw, now 3 times. Quiddy Pay, edge rusher from Michigan, 3 times. And then you just have a hodgepodge of guys who've been mocked once. Jamar Chase, JOK, the linebacker from Notre Dame, Jalen Phillips, Jalen Waddle. Mac Jones was mocked at one point to the Vikings. Okay, we spent some time a few weeks ago talking about the idea of let's say the draft plays out and for whatever reason there's just a run on quarterbacks, and let's say those 3 tackles come off the board. So Penei Sewell, Rashawn Slater, and Christian Darrisaw, and all the quarterbacks come off the board in the first 10 picks or whatever, first 12 picks.
Sure.
And the run on receivers doesn't start until a little bit later. Maybe the Lions take one of the 3 big receivers, and then 2 of them fall into the teens. Do you think there's any chance, if the draft plays out that way, that the Vikings would say, screw it, let's go 3 deep again? Jamar Chase is falling, let's do it. Let's just do it. Pull the trigger.
Do I think that they should consider it? Yes, absolutely. Do I think that they would do it? No. I think at that point in time, much like we talked about, I think, on yesterday's Purple Daily, I think at that point they trade back. I think they find a team that wants one of those guys, and they trade back. Because I really do believe that in Spielman's world, getting that second-round pick back is going to be huge. And I think if you trade back in the first round and allow a team to come up and get a guy that they want, they probably would at least consider some type of deal that would get you a second-round pick. So, no, I think if a quarterback falls, I think, or if a receiver falls, as much as I believe that you should stop and possibly take that player, my guess is that's where the Vikings say, oh yeah, you want this guy, then give us your second round pick.
Yeah, I think you're probably right on that. I mean, some of it's if the Vikings operated a different offensive system that was like they had like the 5th fewest pass attempts in the NFL last year, so they're going to look at it and say, well, we already have Thielen and we just need someone that can be somewhat reliable as a third receiver on third down once in a while. Someone who can catch like 15 passes, where other teams might look schematically and say, man, if we can get a third ridiculous receiver that's unguardable, and now we're going to throw the ball, you know, 100 more times than we did last year. But I don't think Zimmer looks at it that. I don't think he's looking for reasons to throw the ball more.
Which is
kind of a shame.
Which is really against where the league is now.
Yeah.
Like that would be like saying, I could read the paper online, but I get it delivered to my doorstep, and that's just good enough for me. That's what that is.
Do you still get the paper delivered to your doorstep?
No.
You have. You definitely. Oh, you don't?
No, I don't anymore.
I'm shocked.
No, you know
You're
what?
You're online only.
I'm online. Well, and I will pick it up at times, but a subscription for a year is not cheap.
Yeah.
Like, it's not cheap at all. But if you, I get that strategy or that philosophy in life. I totally do. But it would be like, Mike, it's 2021. The news gets updated all day long. You can go read it online. It's really simple. And you'd be like, no, I get it delivered to my doorstep. It's like Dalvin Cook. They hand me the paper, and I run to my recliner.
Is that how he does it? He just waits in the morning for the paper to come by. Put it in my bread basket.
Put it in the vice.
Put it right here.
Put it right there. Yeah, no, exactly right.
This mock draft of Godfather Mock on Mackie and Judd was powered by Federated Insurance. All you business owners out there, and I have been one myself in a previous life, I know what goes into it. You love it one day. You're grinding the next day. You're solving problems, taking care of employees. It helps tremendously to have an insurance company that gives you peace of mind as you navigate the challenges of running a business. When you partner with Federated, you get more than just a policy. You benefit from over a century of experience in making businesses as successful as they can be. Visit federatedinsurance.com to find your local representative. And remember, at Federated, it's our business to protect your
football.
And boys, looks like we have a guest on the line here, Randy in Cottage Grove. What's going on, Randy?
Great. How are you?
We're doing well. I mean, we're 2 weeks away from the NFL draft? I mean, you came on the show a couple weeks ago, and you refused to give us the 14th overall pick. We're wondering
I refused to give it to other GMs.
Yeah, but by doing that, didn't give it to us as well.
Were they asking?
You're a smart guy, Jeff. You can connect the dots. Leave it at that. Will you see my full mock? You might see some surprises.
I mean, are we going to see
that's why
full
we
want
to see it. Can we hear it?
Not right now. I'm still I've been busy. I have other things in my life than mocking, if you can believe it.
Actually, I'm glad you brought that up because I do, and I believe Judd and Declan also follow you on Twitter at RandyVikes69.
RandyVikes69.
Nice.
And we're happy to see that you have been vaccinated and that you're safe.
I got the last one this morning. That's great.
He told me off the line he got his third shot, though.
That's the controversy.
That's kind of what I was going to ask about. I mean,
it's the fifth shot. Fifth time I got jabbed, as they say. But wanted to go triple coverage. Get all three, absolutely.
You're three deep.
I mean, I'm not sure that's what you're supposed to do. In fact, I think they're advising that you're only supposed to get one.
No.
And as of this morning, you're not supposed to get the Johnson & Johnson one, which Judd got on Friday, by the way, and he might keel over it.
I am a time bomb.
I got that one today. I got that early this morning. If they're not doing it now, I got snuck in under the wire, so I'm glad. I mean, if they come out with a fourth one, I'll get that too, because I'm on the just a touch north of 60, so I'm an athletic guy, but I can move around, I've got a pretty decent pretty groove swing still at the plate, pretty good stroke bowling, but I've got a gut. I'm not gonna lie, I got a beer gut, and so better to be safe, than sorry. And I got them all. I just go with some different retailers and drove around some places. And old Randy's all. In fact, all these vaccines are all great. They're all studs.
Did you get these from like reputable places, or did you drive around and try and find like under the table vaccination places?
Mm. No, I got the Moderna at Thrifty White. They were helpful. Great, lovely people there. That's the first one I got. I went to North Dakota for that. Funny story, I had to go back to get the second one, and I goofed up and brought my Pfizer card instead. So
Pfizer.
They said, Pfizer. I said, that's my buddies. They just gave me a separate card for the other Moderna, but they're good. Matter of fact, if you want, I could do a vaccine stud stable.
I mean, listen, I feel like it's our obligation here. I don't want anyone to get the wrong idea. I'm reading an article on NationalGeographic.com that says people should not take more than one vaccine. You're not supposed to take Pfizer and a Moderna and a Johnson & Johnson. You're just supposed to get one. So how you're not foaming at the mouth and keeled over right now, I don't know. We just need to put that disclaimer on the show that whatever medical advice you're hearing from Randy in Cottage Grove is definitely not approved by any sort of medical professional.
Let me ask you guys. You ever had a beer buzz?
A few times. A
couple times.
Yeah.
Okay, what happens when you have that second beer? Feels good. Get the buzz working. You know, what if you mix in a shot?
Did you drink while vaccinating, Randy?
Not inside the clinic, the pharmacy, but I had bloodies before. When I have bloodies after, I mean, you can't. This is a good moment for humans. You know, we did it. Congratulations to us. Hmm. And I'm going to celebrate it. I took all three.
You okay.
Yeah, you're right there.
I got the last one today. So yeah, it's good. I guess it's good to.
Randy,
good to have excuse me.
Are you okay back there? Is everything
okay? I have all three, and the Johnson one. The Johnson one today
what's going on back there, brother? What are you doing?
Johnson one today is what I had. The third one.
That's not what I asked. What are you doing studs. Right now?
They're all studs, and they do.
Okay, hold on. It sounds like we only have a couple minutes left with Randy before something terrible happens. Let's fire up his music, Declan. He wanted to do a vaccine stud stable, so let's give the man one last request.
Doesn't
here.
Sound good.
This is Randy in Cottage Grove's not advised vaccine stud stable.
Randy likes 69. All right. Okay. This is a stud stable for the three vaccines that I got. Number one. The Moderna is an mRNA, as they call it. You got to wait 4 weeks. But here's the second one. It's a stud. Oh. And the Pfizer.
Oh, okay. Yep. All right. I figured that was going to happen.
Do we got a location on him?
I don't know. That's alarming. Very alarming.
Did he just die live on our show? He said he got the Johnson & Johnson.
Oh, I know. And then he was feeling fine, and then he wasn't.
Oh, my God.
He didn't even get through the stud stable.
Do you have his number, or does he just call us on an unidentified number?
I can't see it when he calls in to the...
He just calls the same studio line that he's been calling for years.
I feel like we should check on him. Who can we send?
Someone should monitor his Twitter account just to make sure.
All right.
Randy, I mean, let's be honest.
That was a little...
You might not be able to tell one way or the other based on his Twitter account whether he's okay.
We told him
based
not.
Based on previous tweets.
I think getting all three vaccines was a bad idea, but I also think pre-gaming them all was probably not a good idea.
Okay, asking for a friend. Are you not supposed to drink after you get the vaccine?
I mean, you're not like necessarily supposed to go get bombed, you know? You're not supposed to be getting bombed when you get it.
What if you had three glasses of red wine?
That's a lot of red wine.
That's a lot of red wine.
Like within 2 hours of... Like, I mean, it's been...
Before or after?
It's been a week, so it's
like
been
the,
a week.
Like the bookends of them? I don't know. I would advise if you're just getting a vaccine to probably...
But,
and that's coming from me. You
he
know,
got... Like, he got all three, which you're not supposed to do, and it sounds like he pre-gamed before each one. So that's different than your experience of getting your shot and having three glasses of red wine.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to see if he's
I haven't seen
I don't know
one
if he's in
there.
Any shape to tweet, but
it didn't sound
oh my God.
Good.
Mm.
This would be a all right, well, hell of a time for him to go.
That's a transition.
During the mock draft season.
All right.
We're gonna win. We're gonna score. We're gonna win, Twins. What's that baseball score?
Alrighty. So today's Talkin' Twins discussion, powered by our friends at Dennis Kirk and DennisKirk.com. If you're into riding, you know, motorcycles, sport bikes, cruisers, you'll find what you need at DennisKirk.com. 160,000 parts and accessories in stock, clothing and helmets as well. We should just get Judd a motorcycle helmet that he can wear on the show.
Oh yeah, I'd love that.
Yep.
I won't ride a cycle, but I'd wear the helmet.
And now that he's vaccinated, we can finally fulfill that sidecar request. I can be in that sidecar with Judd as he's rolling down 394.
I would drive
home.
One of those with
I'd
a sidecar.
I'd be in the sidecar. I'd be in the sidecar.
But I'd drive one of those because I feel there'd be stability there.
Yeah.
I don't know. Judd got the Johnson & Johnson, so he probably only has about 72
told
hours
Told you, I'm
left
a walking here, so time bomb. I got it last Friday. I felt terrible on Saturday. Bomb. I felt a little bit of a hiccup in the leg a couple days ago. Not going to lie. Now I'm curious. Blood clot?
Order before 8 p.m. at DennisKirk.com, and they ship the same day. Plus, shipping is free for orders over $89. They truly are the best in the business. DennisKirk.com, everything you need for your ride at DennisKirk.com. Okay, so Josh Donaldson played in a simulated game over at CHS Field with his fellow, minor leaguers, but with the minor leaguers. And he's done some sprints and things that make the Twins feel good, and apparently he feels good about the hamstring and the calf, so the Twins have said he's probably going to be back before the end of the homestand. What is your level of, I guess, how good do you feel about him coming back and just jumping right back in the mix 2 weeks after he popped his hamstring with the second swing of the season?
Yeah, I don't really feel good about this. I guess I feel a sense of trepidation. I think the Twins, being the Twins, are going to certainly bring him back slowly, which means that Arise will continue to play third base quite a bit, probably. They might give Cruz a day off here coming up and have a Donaldson DH. All of that being said, and this sucks to say, because with what he's being paid and the expectations for the day he signed, I really believe that in some ways we should look at Donaldson until he has a lengthy stretch. And by lengthy, I don't mean 2 weeks. I mean a lengthy stretch of health as what he provides as almost a bonus, in the sense that I don't think we should expect it. Okay, it's fine now. Like we've just seen between the hamstring on opening day and the calves at various times last year, we've seen too much. So I don't like saying this. And you certainly would expect more, but I really think that you have to, if he comes back and can produce even on a, you know, three times a week basis, I see that as a bonus, because I just, at this point, can't count on him to consistently stay on the field. And he still talked about how he changed his stride or how he ran, and that came back and caused hamstring problems. I can't trust it. And I think if you do, it's foolish, because what's to say that there is not another calf problem or hamstring problem right around the corner?
Yeah. Maybe there's a third running motion he can try. Is there another area? Can he put some pressure on the glutes to take pressure off the hamstrings?
Or do you run on your ass?
Can you run backwards?
You run on your... Yeah, my ass does all the work.
I mean, Tiger Woods always talked about activating his glutes. So I like Declan's idea. If he runs backwards,
actually, I think that would put more strain on your calves, if I think about it.
Yep. Can you get up and do it just to...
I could.
Yeah. I think you're right, Dex.
I think it would be...
You just said is right.
Yeah. That's too much.
It's calves. It generated...
So it's all calves.
It's the calves firing.
Yeah, it's all calves.
What about that sideways, the karaoke thing, the sideways
Then that's a groin.
Hold on a second.
Oh, no, Judd's going to do a karaoke. I would love to see Judd. Oh, my God. No way. Well, that's not that's a tap dance. That's not.
Oh, yeah. You could do that. Yeah. No tap dance around the bases. Like a ballerina.
Well, if he just hits bombs, he doesn't have to worry about this. He can take as long as he wants to go around the bases. So
sure.
I would say if he's back, I don't want him taking playing time from Luis Arraez. So if you have to move Luis back to the outfield, but I would look at potentially, I don't think they're going to do this, but Miguel Sano has become just so half-dimensional where, and by half-dimensional, I mean the only thing he brings is power, and it's only there sometimes. So if I'm going to take at-bats away from certain players, I'm looking at Miguel Sano and Jake Cave before I'm looking at Luis Arraez. If there's a way you can keep Arraez and Donaldson in the lineup at the same time, and maybe that means moving Donaldson to first base a little bit so he doesn't have to range as much and worry about popping a leg muscle. I'm just saying, I think they should look to be a little more open-minded now compared to maybe where they were a month ago based on Miguel Sano and based on Donaldson, you know, injuring a different part of his leg.
Yeah. Now, the thing was, I assumed that he had played first base more in his career until I was writing the piece on Sano on Sunday, and I looked it up, and he hasn't played much first base. And I think he would balk at that probably. Now, I don't know that if I'm Baldelli, I would care about that. But I do think that there is a way to create a lineup that Sano can still play at times, but could put Arraez in left. And as I said, when Kirilloff comes up, and by the way, he can come up, I believe, after Friday, and he doesn't get the year of service time accrued, Kirilloff can play first base too. So, like, there's a way to make this work for sure. And they're not going to keep Kirilloff down until the Saints start just to make this look good, right? Like, they need to bring him up on Saturday, don't they?
I don't think they're going to. Like, so here's the problem.
Yeah.
The Mariners' old CEO came out and basically went public against his knowledge, which is ridiculous. Like, dude, you're on a Zoom call with, you know.
It was like a Rotary whatever. Club, you idiot.
Yeah. But he basically said, hey, yeah, he unveiled the entire scheme, right, which is, oh, yeah, we just hold those guys down for a couple weeks. We get the extra year of service time. You know how it works, right? So I just think teams have to be a lot more careful if they want to avoid grievances this year. Not to mention, Alex Kirilloff hasn't played in a minor league game yet. So if your whole logic is we're gonna cut this guy from major league camp because he has to work on some things. He wasn't good enough in major league camp. He has to work on some things to be worthy of coming up to the big league squad. How shady would it look if the day after the deadline passes and he hasn't played a minor league game yet, you're like, oh, now he's ready. Now, if there's an injury, then it's easy. Because then it's like, well, I mean, we need a body up here, right? So if it's an injury, it's an easy decision.
Well, you know who doesn't look good?
If not, I think they wait if there's no injury.
Sano looks like he might be hurt. I wonder if this is because he's hurt. I wonder if they're going to need to put him on the DL on Friday.
Can't activate his boots.
IL. The reason why I would, and the system has been made a mockery of in the case of this service time issue time and time again. The reason why, if I'm the Twins, I wouldn't care is very simple. And it's why I don't quite get why Kirilloff didn't start here. I'm telling you, in the CBA that's going to cause a work stoppage next summer, which expires in December, this rule is going away. Like, they're going to, part of the agreement on the player side, when this does get done, is going to be to take this archaic, stupid rule and change it. So I'm not saying that there won't be a service time rule, but it's not going to be this. Like, oh, if you're down for 16 days, who put that in? So that rule is going away. And I don't know if there's going to be an attempt to grandfather guys like Kirilloff in, or they'll just fall into the new rule. But my point is, if I'm the Twins, I'm trying to win games now, and this year is important, I think I would just say quietly, okay, he's called up. But you could have a case to IL Miguel, possibly. I mean, he's looked terrible. Something might be wrong. I'm worried.
I think you're onto something. Something physically wrong with Miguel. It would make more sense that way. But just on the service time thing. So the way it works is, if you get drafted out of high school, then the team has, I think it's 5 years before they have to put you on the 40-man. And then once you're on the 40-man roster, then it becomes, okay, now you're whatchamacallit, your option years start. So the clock sort of starts ticking on how many option years you have left. You get 3 option years. So they keep moving you along that way. They got to put you on the 40-man within 5 years. And then once you're on the 40-man, you get 3 years where you can be optioned up and down from the minor leagues. And then once you're in the major leagues, then your major league service time clock starts ticking. It's all very confusing. Wouldn't it be easier if you just said, all right, if you're an 18-year-old kid out of high school and you get drafted, so the two times you can get drafted are out of high school and then your junior year or senior year of college. So if you're an 18-year-old or a 21-year-old, there'd be two different classifications. If you're an 18-year-old and you get drafted, maybe the team gets 8 years of control over you, just wherever you are. It doesn't matter if you're in the low level of the minors, high level, or if you're in the major leagues for all 8 years. You just, the team gets you for 8 years, and then you can figure out a salary structure. And then if you're drafted out of college, it's like 6 years because you're closer to the major leagues, right?
Sure.
And forget, and then it's like there's no punishment for a team calling Kirilloff up right out of spring training. You just, all right, whatever. It doesn't matter either way. We'll just call him up if he's ready. If he's not, then he'll stay down in the minor leagues instead of doing this whole dance where,
right,
all right, let's keep him down for 3 or 4 weeks and just make sure. Like, it's so stupid and confusing, and I think it helps ruin the game for young fans, too, not really understanding the system.
And who, so, who that's how came I up it. With this? Like, 16 days in April, that's what, I mean, dude. Like, it lends itself to stupidity and obvious collusion, right? Like, it's so obvious. So, like, just change it. It just makes no sense.
It's not like the day there's like 182 days of the regular season or something, and you need 170 days or something to have a full year of service time. And so that's the game that these teams
play. But I think you're
absurd.
So I do think that despite the fact it's a bit of a conspiracy theory on our part, I do think there's something to be said that if Miguel Sano continues to look this bad, you go to him on Friday and say, dude, we got to do something here. You strain something. We don't care what, but you're going on the 10-day, and we know, but you need to work, and Kirilloff will come up to replace you for now, because that would at least get him off the field with a quote unquote excuse. Right. And he could do so. I mean, something's up. You can't be this bad.
I mean, it's only been a week, so you can't go crazy overreacting to 1 week, but to our point yesterday, it hasn't just been a week.
Right.
It's been a couple years.
No, but I'm saying if it continues now, right? Like, so now we're up to 2 weeks, and I mean, you look just absolutely feeble. That might be a good plan to get Kirilloff up and to actually help Sano behind the scenes.
Yeah. Dex in a second has some clips on the Wild standing pat at the trade deadline yesterday. A quick shout out. So if you're a big golf nerd, Masters recap episode of the all-new 10,000 Swings podcast here, part of the Score North Network. I joined Brad and David for just a fun Masters recap, which you can find in audio form, scorenorth.com, Apple, Spotify, 10,000 Swings. You can also find it on our YouTube channel, Score North MN YouTube channel from yesterday. So if you're a golf nerd, check it out. We did a full dive, almost an hour-long dive into The Masters on CBS. All right, Wild stood pat at the deadline yesterday. Let's hear from the team.
We're just not in a position right now to be, you know, just using the assets that we have for rentals. I think our day will come, but with how well our team's performed, the chemistry that we have on our team, I don't feel the need for it today. And you know what? Like I said, our time will come where we do that. But today just wasn't the day.
All right. Your guys' thoughts. They're sitting here in an interesting spot for the playoffs, and that they're overachieving, but maybe adding a piece would put them into a higher level of contention. Did they make the right move? Did Billy Guerin make the right move doing essentially nothing at the trade deadline?
Absolutely. I love this. I love this because he knows that they're not there yet. And he really does have, and as I said, morning Judd today, I use this phrase lightly because the 76ers ruined it, but he really does have a process here, okay? And it includes on and off the ice. It includes rebuilding a locker room, which I think was in complete shambles at one time. And he's brought in Ian Cole, who is good on the ice, but far more effective probably off it. Nick Bonino, bottom six guy, but what does he do? Brings stability. If you bring in a rental, it's twofold. One is how much on the ice is that guy going to help you immediately because it's clearly to make a run? And two, what's he going to mean in that room with, and I think we talked about this briefly on yesterday's show, with Kaprizov, with Fiala, the entire list of players. I could go down the list, but I won't. I think that Bill Guerin knows exactly what he's doing here. And this team's not ready to pop yet, and that's fine. There's no problem there because we now can finally see the light at the end of the tunnel to what he is trying to do here. And the price tag on guys at times was probably too high. But overall, bringing in players for the sake of bringing in players for this group. Look, Bill Guerin watched this team on Friday, and he saw them give up 9 goals. And, yeah, that's a bad night, and we can all say some teams have bad nights. But it's also where the Wild's at sort of as far as the learning curve of things and the develop. I mean, I didn't look at that 9-goal game and say, what a bunch of pigs. I did look at it and say that's very disappointing. And it's another reason why this team is just not really set to completely pop yet. But that's fine. They're on the right track now. So, Dex, I'm not sure about you, but mm-hmm. I thought that this was absolutely the right thing, and I did not want him to mortgage anything that we thought or he thought was valuable for the future.
I get not mortgaging first-round picks. The Wild have 2 of them. They're going to be close together, most likely, because the Penguins are probably also going to be in the playoffs. So you're going to have 2 first-round picks, most likely between, I want to call it anywhere between 18 and 25, probably is a safe assumption. Nick Foligno went for a first-round pick. I wouldn't give up a first-round pick for someone who's 32 and is going to be a UFA. But then when I see someone like Sam Bennett, who is disgruntled in Calgary and is a young center who is entering restricted free agency and he only goes for a second-round pick and a mid-tier prospect to Florida, that's a trade you can make. Because if you have 2 first-round picks at your disposal, you have Marco Rossi knocking on the door, Matthew Boldy's knocking on the door. Basically, you have a core of prospect players who are ready. Like, they're basically ready to compete for NHL spots starting next season. So you have assets to do something. I think a bigger trade probably comes this summer, but when I see someone like Sam Bennett go for a second-round pick, I think that's a trade the Wild can make. Taylor Hall going for a second-round pick, and now he there's a lot of garbage, not garbage, but baggage, I think is a better term, to attribute with Taylor Hall, where he's a former MVP, former first overall pick. He had a full no trade clause, so he kind of got to dictate where he wants to go. And it sounds like with Boston getting him, he's open to the idea of being extended and finding a long-term deal in Boston. But if Taylor Hall, a former second round or former number one overall pick and MVP, is going for a second rounder, and this is classic Buffalo Sabres, by the way, this is why I think you can fleece them for someone like Jack Eichel, because they are the most incompetent NHL organization over the last 10 or 15 years. You can figure out a trade like that. I would have totally taken a flyer on Taylor Hall as a second round pick. I would have totally done that.
So now that they're not going to make a move for this year, and as we look, I don't know, I don't think they've set the exact offseason schedule yet, but let's say, you know, July, whenever free agency rolls around again, are they more likely to address center via trade or via free agent signing in your guys' minds?
Probably via trade.
Yeah.
And so they've also got contracts upcoming with Kaprizov has to get a contract. Now, they'll probably try to give him a long-term contract, and he doesn't have a lot of rights right now, but he also is a guy that is so good, you definitely don't want to try and fleece him or screw him. So he's going to have to get paid. Fiala is also restricted. The point being is they have decisions internally about guys who are going to want pretty substantial contracts, and guys that, I guess, more importantly, you want to lock up long-term, Phil. So it's not that guys can walk, but there's definitely going to have to be some decisions made on contracts. They're going to have to make a decision, expansion draft, who to protect and who they're going to lose to the Kraken, which is probably going to be one pretty good player. I think as far as the center position goes, I could see a trade, possibly a Dumba again or somebody like that for a center. Rossi will be counted on to come up. But I mean, to Dex's point, the Taylor Hall type of trade, I think, is a trade that you make when you're in the window of saying we're good enough to win right now and possibly make a cup run. And I just don't think that they're there. So I think that if they made the call on a guy like Hall or Bennett, that's great. That's fine. But I could very much see the option right now, at least, of saying it's just not time to make that trade. That does not mean in a year or two it won't be, because it will. But you can't, I don't feel like every year can be, let's make that move now, especially when you're trying to build something. And I'll go back to what I said, which I think is important in sports and especially in hockey. I think the most important thing that the Wild is doing right now is stabilizing and creating a culture that didn't exist. And if you bring in the wrong person, that can throw that entire dynamic off. And it's important not to do that.
By the way, I've got a full list here on SI.com from like 2 months ago of the top 30 unrestricted free agents. Not shocking. There's not many centers on this list because there's just not as many there's not as many available good centers as there would be wingers and defensemen. But God, it's a lot of like it's guys that 5 years ago you would have been like, yes, it's Ryan Getzlaff, who's 36 now.
Yeah, he's
it's Paul Stastny, who's 35 now. Right. It's there's not a lot in the free agency pool that would really change the franchise.
It'd be a trade,
for 2022.
I think. Yeah, for sure.
Nugent Hopkins is the top one, and I would bet he probably even is more likely to go back to Edmonton than he is hitting the open market. That is someone I would, though, be able to I would like to throw the farm at for a lot of reasons. But Fiala is also restricted free agent. You have to remember that. Like, Fiala is going to get paid too, and I don't think it's going to be a bridge deal. I think they're going to lock him up. He's an RFA, so you control his rights.
And Kaprizov, they'll try.
Yep. So I think they'll lock up Fiala, they'll lock up Kaprizov, and then you're going to have to figure out with limited assets, what can you do from there? Because guys like Bukestad and Bianino and all these UFAs they brought in, I think only one of them probably comes back. I would be shocked if the majority of them come back. And then you have to basically play the chess game with your salary cap of what player fits that mold. But I just hope they wouldn't do what they classically do, which is sign a 32-year-old center to a five-year deal. Instead, trade for someone.
This guy won't do that.
God, trade for someone Guerin's between 25 and 28. He's not an idiot.
Guerin's not going to do that. There is no way. I'll guarantee it right now. He is not going to make the classic, we're bringing Vanek home move. It's not happening.
No.
Man,
I doubt it.
So many 35, 36-year-old dudes just riding out those contracts a few years ago.
They're just really happy, though, because they can retire on the job.
You guys can find Judd's Hockey Show multiple days a week now on the Mackie and Judd podcast feed and also on the Score North YouTube channel. With if you want your Kirill Kiprasov, what did I say? Kiprasov?
You said that's Mika Kip. You're probably, you have a ghost Calgary Flames past there in your head.
I know. Sorry. If you want your dollar bill Kirill fix, you can find it all over the Mackie and Judd podcast feed and Judd's Hockey Show.
In your defense, though, Kiprasov did own the Minnesota Wild. He was like,
I had Mika Kiprasov on a fantasy hockey team for like 3 years, which
the
was
hockey whisperer.
He and Jerome Iginla. Yeah. Iginla used to kill the Wild
and the Saddle Dome in general. Oh God,
it was
a
blast.
Yeah,
I also had
fantasy hockey.
I won two fantasy hockey leagues like, I don't know, 12 years ago.
Wow. What was wrong with you? Why were you playing fantasy hockey?
And then, sorry, I saw another goalie name pop up here on this list that I was, rode to a championship. Yeah, let me find it here. You guys will know the names. Tuukka Rask led me to a championship 10 years ago.
Yeah.
In fantasy
hockey. What about Thomas Vokoun? Does that name ring a bell at all? Thomas Vokoun?
It does. I never had him on a fantasy team.
Tuukka Rask, man.
We could do we used to do with Rami names that hockey player. Right? I had to spell out crazy hockey player names. He had to pronounce. He actually did very well. He was pretty damn good at it.
All right. That's a wrap on Mackie and Judd today. Thank you guys for hanging out with us, and thank you guys for giving us 5-star ratings and positive reviews on Apple Podcasts. It helps spread the word about the show. And don't forget Daily Vikings Conversations on Purple Daily. See you.